Good morning. Welcome to everyone here, and a special welcome from the Covenant Church of Thomaston to everyone watching or listening online. Speaking for everyone here, we miss all of you. We can't wait until we're all together again. It would be something we all look forward to very much. We're blessed this morning with our assortment of beautiful flowers. They fill the sanctuary with a smell of summer. I'm sure they're going to decorate someone's front porch or pretty soon. In our bulletin this morning, we also have a list of our Easter remembrances. And if you'll check them out in the back, there's a pile of them to read through. So please do that. After church this morning, we're going to be having a board meeting. It's going to be on Zoom. It's going to be early this afternoon, about 1 o'clock. So if you stay around for that meeting, they're going to feed you non-anchovy pizzas. Right? That's what I've got. So, does anyone have anything else they would like to share this morning or add? Antoinette, where is she? Nothing? You got nothing? Okay. And now for everyone at home, please remember that we are going to be having communion this morning, and we'd like you to share along with us. So have your juice and bread ready. You are able to pause where all of you can't pause this church service. Communion this morning, just for you at home, will be following the song, This is Amazing Grace, which follows Pastor Tim's homily. I know all of you at home are ready, and I hope everyone here is ready to get started. So please let us join together in number 36, O Come Let Us Adore Him. Call to worship this morning can be found on page 895. You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power.
For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom, and might and honor and glory and blessings.
Amen. holy, holy. To you, O God, and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Holy, holy, holy. How good it is to be in your presence. It's humbling. Oh, Lord, we need you. Our world needs you. We long for the day when your children will be gathered before you, every tribe and tongue and nation. A beautiful mosaic with one voice crying out, salvation belongs to our God, the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Lord Jesus, through your death and resurrection, you have already broken the power of sin, death, and the devil. Help us to live into this truth as your church. Help us to embrace this opportunity, this time for coming together as one with your church, your global church, broken and contrite with all of our brothers and sisters. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Lord, today we remember your body broken, your blood poured out, forgiveness of our sins to set us free and in a readiness to follow, to love, to be good news and share the good news about you. We are humbled. Hear our prayers today. Hear our confession of sin today. Forgive us. Heal our land. Holy Spirit, you are present. Fill us to overflowing. Draw us deeper into the throne room in our worship. Oh God, receive now this prayer, the one Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm number 8. I just got to flip back. And that is found on page 427 in your pew Bibles. Feels good to be back up here reading again. To the leader according to the Gittith, a psalm of David. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals, that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the fields, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Our next reading is from the Gospel of Matthew. I'm taking a little bit to find it. It will be on chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, found on 812 in your pew Bibles. Commission of the Disciples. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Yes, I got a real short haircut. Truth be told, they had to fix what I started, so. But it fits with this morning as I start out. Following orders in the military is key for a successful war campaign. Boot camp provides the basic training, the knowledge, the skills, the discipline, learning respect, compliance with those in authority. Building unity for battle, that's key. And when the time comes, they move, they think, they respond as a unit, as one. And there's complete trust. And every soldier developing within themselves, their mind, their heart, a readiness to lay down their life for their brother, their sister. And picture a full troop marching in formation, you know, made up of all the units. It's a display of that discipline, that skill, that unity. Just marching as one, going as one, that commitment to the structure. As I was preparing this, I couldn't help think about Bill Murray in the movie Stripes. I mean, talk about the opposite of unity and compliance. But it's back in the 80s. Those of you who are younger, you have no idea what it is. It's one of the funniest movies. But he was part of a ragtag team. They had to prepare for graduation. But he was a down-and-out cab driver. He bottomed out. His best friend was a ESL teacher. He was bottoming out. They joined the Army, and they were the worst soldiers, you know, in boot camp. They were insubordinate. They were just goofballs. Until the last day before graduation. Their Sergeant Hulka got hurt somehow. Probably they hurt him. I forget what happened. So they had no drill sergeant. And Bill Murray decides he's going to be the one to train them. They're up all night. They've got to be in formation before the commander, you know, in chief. And so they trained all night. They overslept. The ceremony's beginning. Everybody's there, and they're late. But then the classic scene. It's early in the movie. Them marching. They're in street clothes, and they're marching. There she was, just a walking down the street. I think that was the song, but just, you know, and they were moving. There was never better formation. And the commander, you know, on the stage says, "Where have you been, soldier?" And classic Bill Murray, "Training, sir." And they graduated and went to battle. Have their marching orders. Well, more seriously, there are large crowds of people that have been marching and gathering, you know, protesting throughout the country. You know, the senseless and tragic murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis has launched a battle cry. You know, most of it is really good. Some of it has turned out pretty bad. God would have us join a peaceful protest because we're peacemakers. Our Lord is a peacemaker. You know, marching with humble and sincere and broken hearts. Martin Luther King Jr., he did it best. He took all kinds of heat for not being violent. Peaceful, nonviolent strategy. Joining with our Christian brothers, sisters of color and as a church in unity. And prayer, I don't think there's enough prayer in a lot of the protest march. And that's where the church can come in. There needs to be more prayer. God would not have us march to a different drummer, one that is beating loudly at this time, one that is violent, deadly, the looting, the beatings, the property damage, destructive fires, it's lawlessness. For Christians, one way follows our Lord. It's the way of peacekeeping and peacemaking. The other way follows our arch enemy, the devil, who comes to kill and steal and destroy, and he's recruiting people all along the way, beating that drum. But you know what? It won't be loud enough. That drum beat won't be long enough because of our Lord. Because of his church and his way. This is only a flash in the pan. Peacemakers will come. They will bring more effective change, which is needed in our country. But only if we return to the Lord. It's time to return to God. Well, during Lent, we're invited out, along on a march, so to speak, a walk. You know, with Jesus to Jerusalem, to go to the cross, you know, and Lent was in March, right? Almost 3 months ago. We were challenged to keep vigil, to stay awake, to stay alert, to pray. Then March 15th, we're put on shutdown, shelter in place, don't move, don't go. Everything stopped except worship, thanks be to God. Does the Lord have our attention? This is his training ground right now. The Lord is training us. And if we're not following him, we're being trained for something else. It's like a spiritual boot camp for preparation, for a reset, a return to the Lord, his goals and his purposes. It's almost been 90 days. What have you been training for? What have you been training for? Has the Lord been fashioning you and shaping you? He's inviting us to be part of what he wants to do. When Jesus had his disciples and was training them, discipling them, it was kind of a reset. Think of it. Passover, He gave new meaning to Passover. His body broken, his blood poured out. You know, so that we could all have life. God brought new meaning to Pentecost. Last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church. The Holy Spirit brought about a different kind of military formation, if you will. You know, the battle belongs to the Lord. But he brought about a unity and a love that would lay down one's life. Anyone would lay down their life for the Lord. All to bring many to repentance and to new life. Almost 3 months in, the shutdown. Now more than ever, the Lord would have us advance to His command in battle for people's hearts and lives, for souls to join His ranks. It will take an ongoing, fresh infusion of the Holy Spirit to remain obedient and to remain united. God is bringing His church together in a global fashion. During the 10 days of prayer, just briefly, there was 24/7 prayer. There was a Zoom set up all across the world. And most mornings I would wake up, you know, sometimes I'd wake up right at 5 because there were an hour slots from 5 to 6, 7. Those are the ones, and a little after that too, some mornings. But it was just powerful. From Kenya, from New Zealand, you know, many in the U.S., many in New England, many in Connecticut. But just the God bringing that together, praying all over the world. And certainly when the murder of George Floyd happened, there was incredible crying out to God in those prayer times. And you know what? God bringing His church together is incredible. And you know what? I miss those prayer times. I think some of the prayer may continue. You know, will it continue globally? You know, we need to join together, especially with our brothers and sisters in Christ of color. All that being said, we have been commissioned. The church has been commissioned. We have been given orders, right? They come from the one who has given all authority in heaven and on earth. And that's Jesus Christ in Matthew 28. We are reminded that we are to go. We are to go. To make disciples. To baptize. And this is key. And teaching them all that Jesus commanded. Not just part of what Jesus commanded. All of what He commanded. Those are the orders. And Jesus is with us always, He says, as we comply to make and teach disciples. Just want to zero in on one of those commands as we prepare to come to the Lord's table. It's an often overlooked command that Jesus gave. It's vital for us, for His church, especially in this new day. And I'd call it His highest command. You know, there's a universal list of 49 commands Jesus gave. I don't know if anybody else but Janie could come up with all 49. But if you go online and look that up, you know, there's not much variance from it. The 49 commands of Jesus. And I found it on the Institute in Basic Life Principles. But biblical commands that need to be taught. They need to be lived out. Most of them are found in the Sermon on the Mount. If you want to check it out, that's a good place to start. Matthew 5 through 7. But was our Lord's overlooked chief highest command forgotten? It wasn't on the list of 49. Maybe some form of it is. Most of us can quote the greatest commandment, the Shema, Hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's important. It kind of places us at the center. I always think of the cross, and I heard someone speak. It was on one of the 24/7 teachings during the 10 days. He said, you know what? It places us at the center. Well, I think we should be at the center. The command falls on us to love God and love others. But we need Jesus at the center. His death. His crucifixion. We need the life that he brings to live out the mandate. Do you know what the mandate is? The often overlooked one that didn't make the top 49? You know, what kind of love is that? It's in John 13. It was promised by God through the weeping prophet Jeremiah 31. Days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, the house of Judah, not like the former covenant, which they could not obey. I will put my law in them. I will write it on their hearts. A new covenant. A new covenant. In the upper room, John 13, Passover. And Jesus is there after they ate the Passover. And Judas left. He left to go and betray our Lord. Jesus said this in verse 34. A new commandment I give you. A new covenant. A new commandment I give you. That you love one another. Even as I have loved you. Even as is so important. Even as. That you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If you look in Luke at the Last Supper, 22:20 following, Jesus holding up the cup after supper. Pastor Gary is going to hold the cup up in a little bit. He held it up and he said, this cup poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. No greater love. No greater example for the church. How that new covenant came about. Jesus had to die to seal, to initiate that this new covenant promised in Jeremiah. Is this new covenant through the blood of Christ, is it written on your hearts, engraved by his blood? The loving, even as Jesus did. Lord, help us to love as Jesus did. If you're a believer in Jesus, God promised also in Jeremiah 36, 26 and 27, I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit in you. And we know that by faith in Jesus Christ, God has poured out his love in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And if you're not a believer, there's good reason to come to the Lord, especially during this time and everything's being shaken. God loves you. Jesus died for you. He's calling you to come and be part of his family. Call on the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. So key to unity in Christ's church, you know, the making and teaching of disciples, is our willingness, a readiness to lay down our life. That seems like a high calling, especially in the Western world. But certainly symbolically, to lay down our life. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And Jesus, by the shedding of his blood, the breaking of his body, he is at the center. He gave himself on the cross for us. Behold, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Our Lord of Lords, our King of Kings. We have our marching orders. We've been commanded to go, and he is with us. As we follow the one we love, our Lord Jesus, especially in this time, this new day, we will make disciples. We will make disciples because His love is filling us, it's flowing out from us. And we will be one, we will be united, and we will baptize many. And we will teach all 50 of the commands of Jesus. We will model it and show the way. And if you want to read more about that way, Philippians 2 is a great chapter. Let the same mind be in you that was in our Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself and gave himself. And that is to be our mindset, our way forward in love. And there's a declaration in Philippians 2:13. I want you to hear this and receive it. Let it be imprinted in your heart and on your mind. This is it. God is at work in you. God is at work in you. He's engraving. You know, picture an engraver, a worker of stone. He is at work in you, giving you the desire to please Him. Giving you that desire to please Him. And God is at work in you, giving you the ability to do it. We can do it. He's at work in you and in me and in us and in His church. The call goes out. Jesus came to eradicate the debt of sin, to defeat the powers of sin, death, and the devil. And He did it. He also came to erase the lies that we have believed in our minds and left imprinted on our hearts about ourselves, about other people. No, Jesus, He aligns us with His truth. He transforms our mind. He inscribes His word upon our hearts. I'll end with this. Joelle Maristol, she and her husband Francis are co-pastors of the Rhema Life Church in Philadelphia. They're from Haiti. After speaking one time at an engagement, you know, she asked the Lord, why is there such fruit? And then she wrote this down. She said, "One incident shook my very core. It was a word that He wrote on my heart, a word that I could never forget, a word that I couldn't shake off, a word that I could never doubt. I could doubt prophecies, my parents' wishes, and definitely dreams, but this word was written on my heart. Nothing could wash it off, not even my sins, not even my mistakes. Not even my shortcomings. Nothing. His blood was the ink. My heart was the paper. His spirit was the stamp. It was a done deal. God wrote on my heart." And this is her, what she felt. You are chosen. You are chosen. And you know, we could add, "You are my beloved," the Lord would say to you. "You are my beloved. You are chosen. You are a chosen son, a chosen daughter. You have been set free to do the Father's will, to love as Jesus loved, to follow that sacrificial love command, that all might believe." Amen. I think we have a song now. You may be seated. You see in the bulletin that it says you can bring your offering forward if you haven't already when you'll be coming forward to receive communion in a little bit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the many gifts, all the blessings. You are so generous. Thank you for the generosity of this church family, helping those in need and supplying the banquet of blessing and giving to those in need and in their own lives. And I just thank you, Lord, for all the gifts. They all come from you. We praise you. We glorify you. We bring ourselves to the altar as good stewards, as lovers of God and lovers of Jesus, even as we bring these monetary gifts now and as we come to your table. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
As I listen to the song, I see people coming every week, and I just kept thinking to myself, a song that I noticed is Welcome Home. And as we come here for communion, I just feel welcome home. The gospel tells us that on the first day of the week, the day our Lord rose from the dead, he appeared to some of the disciples and was made known to them in the breaking of bread. It is true for us as well. Christ is made known to us as we break this bread and we drink this cup together. As we prepare to come to the Lord's table, we reflect upon the reasons for thanksgiving and for faith, and our need for forgiveness and for love. In this time of silence, we remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who called us to share this meal together. And we thoughtfully examine the state of our faithfulness and unity in his body. Would you please take a moment of silence? Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are very, truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. And if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May Almighty God have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Sisters and brothers, this food for the journey to which God has called us. Let our lives be nourished by our Lord himself as we celebrate together this table. The Apostle Paul tells us on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. This is my body broken for you. And Paul goes on to tell us in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup in the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Paul then goes on to remind us that when we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the death of Jesus until he comes again. Now, this is the Lord's table. It is Jesus himself who invites you to this meal. The table is open to all who believe and have professed faith in Jesus Christ. Would you please bow with me in prayer? Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, blessed forever, to you be praise and honor for giving yourself, shedding your blood, and letting your body be broken in death for our sake, so that we might have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Bless, O God, this bread which we together eat and this cup which we together drink. Let us, through the blessed bread and the blessed cup, become partakers of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Unite us with one another and with all your saints in heaven and on earth. Consecrate us, body and soul, to be a living, acceptable offering to you, so that in word and deed we may continually praise and glorify your holy name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Come forward.
One to the left, one to the right.
Yep.
And ours to the right there.
We have Druce on the left and Druce on the right. Come forward. Stay out of the way. Are you going to take now or after? Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us this morning with spiritual food in the sacrament of his precious body and blood. As we celebrate new life, let us be happy, let us be glad, for a great reward does await us in heaven. And as we pause to pray this morning, help us to be mindful of just how blessed we are and realize just how much we need you. It is hard for us to not get swept up in the emotion of all that is enveloping our country, dear Lord, over the past few weeks. Help us to be mindful of the hate, oppression, destruction going on in our world, country, and state. Let our faith not get diluted. We lift up our country for healing. We lift up our leaders for ideals and strength and faith to discern right from wrong and to make the correct decisions for all peoples of this country. We lift up all the churches of faith to stand firm in these difficult days. Like Paul, make the scales fall from our hearts and eyes so that we can see our world in the way that you see it. Clear our vision so that we can live with the love you so freely offer us. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like eagles. Father God, we lift up our church leaders, pastors, and congregation, praying for your strength to fill us for our well-being, physical, emotionally, and spiritually, as we journey together through this exhausting time in our lives. Help us to also be mindful of our own who are or have families whose bodies are racked with aches or pains or disease or illnesses. We lift up Linda Knox and Liz Montambo and Chris Friedland, Robert Morton and Barb Hanley, and Mike Bergamo, Karen and George Anacoli, Herb and Rogine LaPlante, Grace Dayton, Ed Nelson, Art and Claire Peel, Peter Bucklevich, Carol Stratman, and Millie Cunningham. We lift up all of our church family. Send us now with your blessing into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Well, let us now stand for our closing hymn, number 299.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing thy great redeemed and saved, the glories of thy darling, the bright and loud news praise, thy gracious master and my word must assist me to proclaim, to spread the rule, the ear, the throat, the honors of your name. Jesus, the name that shines on his celebrates our sorrow cease. His music in the sinner's ear is life and health and peace. He breaks the power of cancel sin. He sets the prisoners free. His blood can make the foulest dream. His blood availed for me. To God all glory, praise and glory, he now and ever give. Our saints below and saints above, thou wilt judge in earth and heaven.
Let us continue a march of love for Jesus. Go with peace and kindness and joy and hope and strength. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.